Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way. It's one-stop vehicle shopping. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Route 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to spiral into the land of confusion and the rant of the day. Or is it rants?
Well, it's a rant because I got nothing to really rant about for once.
What?
I know.
Really?
It was kind of a quiet night last night.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm sorry I'm letting the people down today, but...
Oh, I don't think you're letting the people down. All right, so let's... All right.
I mean, everybody's up in arms about what the Flyers trade of Kevin Hayes today, but, like, that's exactly what they were going to get in return. That was Kevin Hayes' value. It was a six-round pick. Everyone was expecting more. Well, guess what? He was hurt all the time, so he couldn't really get that much value. So I'm fine with the Flyers did today with Kevin Hayes. Other than that, that's about it.
First of all, not everybody's up in arms because the vast majority of the audience didn't even know what happened. So we'll start with that.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Figure we'd mention that just for the sake of the audience. Okay. So let's get into something that is, I think, intriguing and concerning and take it from there. And that is what people have referred to as sports washing. You've seen Saudi Arabia pour a lot of money into sports. They poured a bucket load of money into soccer, for one thing. And here in this country, it's been LIV Golf that people have talked about that they have poured their money into. But the reality is they've poured exponentially more money into soccer. Sports washing as a term, I never really heard the term until the LIV Golf situation came up. But countries have used sports over the years to make, either gain influence, to make their society look better, stronger, to try and prove a point. You go all the way back to the old Soviet Union. And they tried to use international sports to show that their society was superior, that their system was superior. And they poured a lot of money into sports to do that. and they turned out some of the greatest gymnasts in the history of the sport. Olga Korbut, Tereshcheva, Nellie Kim. They turned out some of the greatest hockey players in the world. Tretiak, Patisov, Mikhailov, Petrov, Larionov, Karlamov. They were able to compete with the NHL head-to-head. Several of them ended up in the NHL. East Germany really used sports to try and show, especially West Germany, that they were exponentially superior. In fact, there are several East German women shot putters that could take a Kia and toss it over a hedge. Okay. Where'd she come from? Wow. All right. And then, of course, of late in the Olympic movement, it's been China. China has put out some dynamic gymnasts to the point where now there are age restrictions. Good basketball players like Yao Ming. But more and more, and not only that, if you notice that in 2008, Beijing had the Summer Olympics. Beijing in 2022 had the Winter Olympics, trying to showcase the country. So now we get to Saudi Arabia. Now, in that part of the world, Qatar paid an exorbitant amount of money to get the World Cup and got it in 2022. Saudi Arabia is among those bidding for the 2030 World Cup. It's interesting, a combo bid, though, from Uruguay is sitting there. And what makes that compelling is that in 1930, Uruguay hosted the first World Cup, so 100 years later, they'd like it back. The question is, will Saudi money rule, and will they be able to get the 2030 World Cup? Of course, 26 will be the United States, Canada, Mexico in a combined bid. So now let's get to the element of the amount of money that they're pouring into this. They are pouring a lot of money, Saudi Arabia, into soccer. They have dipped into the European League. They have dipped into the Premier League. They've been able to get some of the top stars, including Ronaldo, to play in Saudi Arabia for a gigantic sum of money. Not small, but gigantic sum of money. What is interesting is that they are not drawing, whether it's LIV Golf or their soccer league, they are not drawing fans to watch it. Now, in Saudi Arabia, they're watching in the stadiums. But LIV Golf, they're on the CW here. Nobody can tell you anybody that's won a LIV Golf tournament. The only time anybody knows about LIV Golf is that, hey, look, Brooks Koepka's fighting for the Masters lead, and there's Patrick Reed, and look who finished second, Phil Mickelson. And the PGA, Koepka won it. Okay, now the U.S. Open. Then next will be the Open Championship. That's when people pay attention to it. But nobody's watching it on an every week basis. Nobody even tell you where the tournaments are. Now, it's a little bit different. It's 54 holes. They play music. They're allowed to wear shorts. I mean, there's all sorts of elements to it that are actually intriguing to talk about. But it's also the money, the guaranteed money. As Brooks Koepka has said, hey, look, I was hurt a couple of years ago. I didn't really know what my golf future was, and they offered this, and they thought, this is a way to give myself security. Well, he's right. He gave himself security then. It turned out, started feeling a lot better, and now he's back to being one of the top players in the world. and has 5 major championships. But you can't just buy your way into something. I've tried to tell the suit that, and this is, you know, he still continues to go over to Kmart.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit!
The outfit he had on the other day was just subpar. That may have been his best day, too. But you can't just buy yourself into something. Take, for example, expansion in this country, expansion sports. Baseball is always a good example because there's the expansion into Tampa, Miami, Arizona has been intriguing because they all have something in common. Tampa and Arizona have been in play since the 90s. And same thing with Miami. Miami before that when they were the Florida Marlins. Marlins have won 2 championships, 2 World Series, what, 97 and 2003. I'm trying to think who they beat in 2003. All right, well, that's a different story. The Diamondbacks in 2001 won a championship. Jeez, I'm trying to think who they beat. Well, I'll get to that later, I'm sure. And Tampa Bay has been to the World Series twice. So there's been success at moments for each of those franchises. But what do all 3 have in common? Despite being around now 25 to 30 years between the 3 of them, 25 to 30 years, in reality, how many fans do they really have in their fan base? The Dodgers play at the Diamondbacks. What's the percentage of Dodger fans? My goodness, when the Dodgers go to San Diego, the Padres have been in existence since 1969. You know, they've been in existence 54 years. There's still more Dodger fans in there. Same thing with Tampa. The Yankees come to town, the Orioles, the Red Sox. There's more of those fans there than there are Tampa fans. Same thing with Miami. Just because you put a team there doesn't mean that it'll become entrenched and they're your team. And now back to Saudi Arabia. Just because you're buying all these players doesn't mean that you are going to sway the soccer fans of the world, that you're going to sway the golf fans of the world. They turned off a lot of golf fans by what they've done. They've turned off soccer fans, and they're not fans in England. There are fans in England right now that root for Arsenal, Liverpool, Tottenham, whomever it may be, Chelsea, and guess what? They're not going to start rooting for the Saudi Arabian League or for their former players because they're not playing for Tottenham, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, and whomever. That's who they grew up rooting for and then passed on to their kids. Now look at Matt's family, right? Those kids have been destroyed. They're Yankee fans. They're destroyed. I mean, they've got no future. It's just they've got decades of frustration coming up. Their 6er and Eagle fans, same thing. They're going to be circling a fogged-in airport. Yet they're beautiful kids.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
And because Daddy went down a bad path, they're going to suffer for it. Why did you pick these teams, Daddy? I want to be a Tampa Bay Rays fan. But that's the way it is. They're long-standing, deep-seated. You just cannot buy fans. You can't. And that's what all these entities need to understand. You just can't buy it. You have to have forward-thinking. And you have to do something that endears yourself to people so they become a fan of yours. You just can't throw money at it. My goodness, there's one franchise that's spent between $2.5 billion and $3 billion over the last 12 years just to get to the World Series and can't get there. I mean, they might as well take the money to the center of their revered stadium and just burn it. It might be more fun.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up.
But you can't just throw money at it and then say, look at us. And it doesn't mean that people are going to just jump in and go, hey, that's great, I'm in. How many fans has LIV Golf won? I mean, have you ever seen a LIV Golf tournament? I mean, I never have.
Nope.
Never have.
But nor did I care to, as you know.
But soccer, same thing. How many fans have they won with that? And they have poured, I mean, you know, you talk about the money they poured into LIV. Phew. That is nothing compared to what they poured into soccer. I'm not sure how much money Ronaldo got. I mean, a lot. All right, coming up, Neil Coolong. Then we're going to talk about AI because there is a real campaign for robo-umps. You can just tell. Every time I turn around, there's a story about fans up in arms over strike call in game. But I mean, every day there's another story. This one, even the Mariners announcers were stunned by their brutal winning strike call. This is happening over and over again. It's a narrative, and you know how I feel about that. I just think most narratives are frauds. Because we need more, you know, technology in there. Oh, please. Enough's enough. So we'll talk about that, but that'll be about 4:06 today. At that point, after Neil's over with, there'll be some anger that will bubble up within Matt, and he'll suddenly just come up with a rant.
The afternoon is young.
On this end, it's getting older by the minute. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Said, quote, if Larry Bird played in this era, I think he'd be in Europe. There's no way. I think the kid from Denver is way better than him. Now, remember we went back and we talked to Matt about this yesterday? Who cares? He makes a statement. So what? It's his opinion. Who cares? You, on the other hand, get incensed.
Well, and that's another dumb statement because all these former players from those teams that played with MJ in the 90s with the Bulls, they're just jealous. That simple as that. They're just jealous, and it clouds their judgment when they know firsthand because they saw it firsthand. It's stupid.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? Why do you let that bother you?
Because it's stupid. That's why.
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. It's time for Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, welcome.
As always, it is an extraordinary pleasure to be here. Hope you guys are doing well out there.
About to work out next week. This Tuesday is the 4th of July.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm like a week off because my boss is going to be gone like at the end of this week. So I got to do all his stuff leading into it. I feel like, man, I'm just putting it off. I feel like that isn't, that isn't close yet, but I suppose I should probably start getting concerned about that.
It's okay. All right, so Hard Knocks. I know Shannon Furman. She is part of the crew that does this, and they do great work with it. What is the reluctance on the part of now, obviously many teams, to about whether they want to be on Hard Knocks or not? Because I know Shannon and the crew, I mean, they're not sitting there trying to get anybody.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of different angles to this. My gut would be coaches and to whatever degree players don't want the cameras around because they don't want to get clowned. You know, they don't want to have that viral moment because, believe me, there are people that are watching the show specifically for that, for the sake of creating content. And it's, I'm not totally clear on the rules, but obviously the players aren't getting direct cuts for their participation with the show. So that there's ample marketing that is done off of them and moments that are in the show when they need to be, you know, focused on what they're doing. From the coach's perspective, it's a distraction. There are other things there. It's something to take the players' minds off of the task at hand. At the same time, I would offer up that because of the rules that are in place, what it's really saying is you qualified for this. It's not really a good thing to be qualified for it. So, call it a loser's badge, if you will. If you're on the show, that means that you failed to meet a bunch of standards that would otherwise say that you had, to some degree, a successful season the year before. Also, add in the fact that I don't think anybody would do well with their fan base, all of those things considered, to say they're excited about the opportunity to do it. You know, I don't think that they want their fan base thinking that this is a good thing for them. They're better off coming off as we don't want to do this. We won't know for certain. I am sure there are some factions within a team that don't mind it. I'm sure there are some players that see it as an opportunity. But to your point, you kind of alluded to this. If you watch it, especially now, they're focusing on, you know, never will be. You know, a lot of these guys, the competitions that they're talking about are fringe roster spots. They're practice squad spots. We've gotten to know the international player on like the last four teams on Hard Knocks. Those are guys that, if not for the extra space created for them, wouldn't be on the team at all. So they're not really putting the stars to a whole lot of work, and I think that's something that's been it kind of weeded out in the last, I don't know, four or five seasons of it. If I looked at a roster of it, I could probably tell you when it's started to slide away from it. But it's an entertaining show. It's a good show. It doesn't get you as in-depth a look as what's probably real. But at the same time, I get why coaches, general managers might not want the cameras around when they're trying to do stuff. I'm not entirely sure it's, you know, it's pretty soft. They're not really going after stuff. I mean, it's been since James Harrison was, like, actively, you know, borderline assaulting the cameraman to get away from him that we've seen you know, mm-hmm. kind of controversial types of stuff. It's pretty vanilla. It's not real edgy right. anymore. You know, you're not really seeing that. And a lot of the guys that are in there, you love hearing about them, but the next time you hear about them is when they get cut, and then they might get signed somewhere else during the season mm-hmm. by somebody else, and you're not thinking about them going into the next season. So it's not like this is real, you know, incredibly high-end NFL talent sharing parts of themselves during that process.
Well, what's interesting is that Bill O'Brien, when the Texans were on it, well, Bill's up there talking and at practice discussing the way I always saw Bill talk and discuss, okay, when it came to situations like that. And then I remember I was talking to him. I said, hey, how do you think of what? He goes, Jonesy. He says, my mother saw the first one. She says, what are you talking like that for? Because mom isn't in practice. So, you know. But you're talking about the reason they focus on the stories you're talking about is those are the compelling stories as to whether somebody makes it or not. I already know Aaron Rodgers has made the team. I don't have to worry about that. Right? They're trying to come up with a story.
Yeah, telling the story of it, I think, is – that's something I think that's changed with the production that HBO has put in charge of it. I can't disagree with that. You do need to have some type of conflict, some kind of drama there. And they've done a good job highlighting the human element, I think, a lot of it. If you really want to get to know the NFL, you have to see all of it, in my opinion, because we've discussed this many times. Within the NFLPA, the Players Union, you're looking at a massive delta of really any type of human qualification you can think of. There's the difference between the highest paid and the minimum is enormous. Age range is probably 18 years, something like that. Experience, obviously, is vastly different. You put all that, the microcosm of that within a team creates a huge... You know, I don't know if imbalance is the right word. I don't want to suggest it's a negative thing, but there's a lot of different things that are going on. You're catching a lot of different people at different points of their lives. They're going after the undrafted rookies, which I don't think it's a coincidence. You're seeing more and more undrafted rookies making rosters coming out of training camp nowadays. You kind of see how they became who they were, at least you know what the producers are selected to put on the screen. And it does create that sense of, you know, will they or won't they, the drama that comes with, you know, making a roster. I think that is compelling. I do enjoy watching that. At the same time, though, I remember, you go back to the Cowboys year, which I feel was probably the most overly orchestrated of all of them. They right. did provide some good insight into Dak and Zeke Elliott's friendship. You got a little bit from Dak. He was injured, but you saw really just how, you know, competitive he was, how single-minded he was. And most of that was because he was trying to avoid all of it. You know, you could see where that comes from. And it gave you some good insight into McCarthy's position. You know, I took from it that Jerry Jones really is in charge of just about everything, so
yeah,
it kind of
exactly.
confirmed what everybody
yes.
already knows. And
yeah.
you can get some good stuff almost in an unintentional way, and it really depends on you know, when the cameras are on. And to be honest with you, that's not all that much different than working camp as part of media. There are things that you might see but you can't really report on, and there are things that happen that you can that the team can't really control. So there's kind of this sense of chaos combined with you know, a good amount of story opportunity from an eclectic group of people who are all there mixed together in you know, oppressive heat and combative conditions. It can make for some good storylines, and you know, some have been better than others, but you always appreciate the production value that goes into it.
Well, I know they always appreciate whatever cooperation they get, because it does make the production for Shannon and her crew a lot easier. And the crew has been here for, geez, that same crew has been here several times for their rookie, you know, welcome, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL. So, I mean, I've seen them around for that, to do that as part of the group. This is a time of year where this is about as slow as it gets. This is about the only time of the year the NFL does not dominate the cycle. Right now it's the NBA and Major League Baseball. How important is it for the NFL just to have a little time to breathe before they dominate again?
I think two parts to it. I think that if they had something they could do in June, they would.
Yeah. Yep.
That said, the people who might not agree with that are gone. They're on vacation. Their news doesn't break because people aren't doing it, because they are taking, you know, really the last breath of quasi free air before, you know, their world becomes extremely narrow, extremely specific to the job that they have to do. And I'm really talking more about the front office. You know, players do it as well. You look around social media. You see them, you know, this is when they take their trips. They're in Europe. They're in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
You get the sense that usually because it's fans screaming about why they're not in the gym working out at that particular moment, which is, you know, always kind of fun to see. It's their one opportunity to say, look, all right, we've drawn up everything we're going to drop. We can wait and make decisions on this for another time. You know, yes, there are still good players who are out in the market, and it's not that teams are completely asleep at the wheel. It's just more like, why bother signing them right now? We have camp in a month. There's nothing that's going to happen between now and then, except, and I don't mean this negatively, but except for them to get hurt. So do we want to be liable for this now, or at the very least get them into camp where they have a professional reason to have gotten hurt? You know, we might be on the hook for it then, but it's better than them, you know, breaking their ankle, falling off the sidewalk before they even step foot on the field. They're not going to make a move now. So now I think is not that it's necessarily, you know, organized this way, but there seems to be a very much an understanding that this is the time of the year everyone kind of shuts it down and moves away. That said, I think, you know, humanistically, yeah, they probably need to do that. I think, too, it's a good time for fans to not be plugged in and to not kind of grasp at straws. We got over the draft hangover probably in May.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of excitement that comes from that. It's fun to see them in minicamp. You see them in teams' practice jerseys and the helmet for the first time. There's some value to that. And then there kind of just comes a point where it's like, we can't really push the envelope here anymore. You know, let's just wait on it, because all of this stuff we'll notice come preseason that it's nonsense compared to the real football that's going on. And then come week one, week two, week three, we'll see that the preseason was kind of nonsense compared to what everything is. So I think to make those to make those kind of tent poles increase in strength, you have to have a dead moment where everything just sort of resets. I think that's where it is. This is really more of an audience attention thing than anything else. So it coincides well with a time period in which they can all just kind of say, look, you know what, let's just take a couple weeks off or, you know, whatever that happens to mean. We don't have anything specific going on here. We can deal with internal stuff. We can deal with long-reaching stuff. More so than we can about roster personnel, media facing type of thing, and just kind of get ready for what it's going to be, which is, you know, total chaos come late July.
Something's going to happen on July 11th that has not happened in 4 years, and that is there's going to be a supplemental draft. The supplemental draft over the years, Bernie Kosar, Terrell Pryor, people like that. There's only one player in this thing, and that is Milton Wright, a wide receiver from Purdue, who was academically ineligible this past season. If you use a fourth-round selection in the supplemental draft to take him, you will then lose a fourth-round pick in the 2024 draft. That's how it works. He's the only guy in it. Do you think somebody will take a flyer on him?
Every year this comes up, and I have gotten so hypnotically obsessed with this answer. I'll be honest with you, I didn't even realize they didn't have a supplemental draft the last 4 years. I know that we talk about it
every
year.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
Usually, you bring up whoever the player is, and that's when you start looking into whoever the player is. Because, let's be honest, if a guy that's facing academic suspension didn't go pro, there's probably a reason. So you look at it from the perspective of this has to be a pretty high-level guy if you want to spend a future pick on him right now, because you're essentially trading for that player. And on top of that, you're improving the rest of your competition because that cuts the pick out of the round. Is he worth having on your team going into camp now? He has not been through mini camp. You don't know anything about him personally. You haven't, you know, if he had not declared for the draft, you didn't meet with him. You didn't interview him. There has to be a compelling reason for you to want to go get him. Now, the question is this guy Josh Gordon? I don't think so.
And he was a supplemental draft pick.
I don't know who he is. Yeah, I would say no. Just flat bottom line, no.
I agree.
I know it has been, granted, you know, things might have changed within the Steelers organization, but it was, you know, kind of silent standard operating procedure. They were never going to take anybody in the supplemental draft. They don't care who
it
is. They were not going to take anybody. I'd expect that streak to continue now. It's fun coming up with kind of tongue-in-cheek content to surround the supplemental draft. Usually it's a look back at it, and there was a point in time in which when you had the break-off with the USFL and there was a lot of decisions to be made, and there was legitimate competition back and forth, the supplemental draft made a bit more sense than it probably does today. I see the value of it, but I almost feel like they're not able to shoehorn it in at a better time. But where it is, the placement of it almost seems to me more like the NFL really doesn't want to actively try to poach players from college.
That's
right. The supplemental draft happening after minicamp really just says you don't have a chance. You have to have a really strong reason to not go back to school, whatever that happens to be. But by and large, the team isn't going to waste a pick on a guy that gave up his college eligibility, and nobody else is going to waste a pick on anyway. He's an undrafted free agent then. Going back to what I said before, that's becoming a bigger and bigger thing. So a lot of these guys are still going to end up, you know, he's probably at best a practice squad player as a rookie, or that's where he's going to get his start. Not a bad place to be anymore. So why spend the pick on him? There's a lot of guys you have in some way, shape, or form, at least one, if not two, other professional leagues that are going on. You know, the Steelers have, what, five guys going into camp that they signed from a minor league this past spring season. So there are a lot more opportunities. There aren't maybe as many roster positions as there are, but there are always a ton of injuries. I think there's value to going into the supplemental draft, but it's not the supplemental draft that matters. It's the fact that they are declaring their eligibility to go pro. They'll probably end up in camp somewhere if somebody doesn't take him. But I don't think a team is going to waste an asset on him this late into the whole process.
And to be honest with you, he's better off being a free agent anyway. He'll have more options. He'll have more options than being the fifth round supplemental pick of some team. I mean, to be honest.
At that point, I mean, salary wise, I mean, it's going to look good, but that salary doesn't matter unless you make the team.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather have the opportunity to choose the team that you can make as opposed to, you know, a bad decision by somebody or whatever it is that's going to happen?
Right.
You may as well have control at that point. And that's, you know, it goes back to Vontaze Burfict in, what was that, 2012, I think it was? He went undrafted. Yeah. You know, first-round talent went undrafted. He had, I think he had like 20 offers. He could have, you know, chosen anywhere that he wanted to go. He picked the one that gave him the best opportunity to make the team and to play, and he started as a rookie. Just kind of a bizarre situation all around, but I think that's a model of how players can look at it and say, if I'm not going to get drafted, Lael Collins was the same way. You know, if I'm not going to get drafted in round one, don't draft me at all. I want to pick where I'm going to go, and then we can negotiate a contract from there. It makes more sense. Right? That might be optimistic. You know, you need a little bit more scratch. You know, not everyone's Lael Collins in the situation that he faced.
Yeah.
But you can see why it might make more sense for a player to enter the supplemental draft, even if it isn't the draft itself that's important. It's the fact that you are declaring yourself a free agent in the NFL pool.
It'll be July 11th. We will have no coverage of it. All right, but enjoy your holiday weekend, sir.
I will. You guys as well. Be safe. Be good. We'll get back to it after it.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong, SI.com. I'm waiting for a rant about the supplemental draft.
I also, like Neil, did not know that was still a thing.
What? All right, I'll continue to show up to work. I forgot. If it's not the Eagles or the Yankees, you don't really know what's going on in sports.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Do you like rooting for teams that just tread water?
That's not the goal, but it's just the way it's been sometimes.
Sometimes?
All right, a good amount of my time so far.
Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.